this really be the end? To be stuck inside a movie with the Memphis Blues again.
Welcome back to the Jeff Wolf Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning, 251-343-0106. He sent you technologies text line. Use that to get in touch with us. Still to come on the program, Dale Jackson, WVNN. That's in about an hour from now. And then Matt Clark from us, Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. And a constitutional issue has arisen that, it'll be something that won't be tackled until a future legislative session. But the drag show ban, or quote-unquote ban, I don't think it's a ban on drag shows, but a ban on minors at drag shows. Well, state of Tennessee passed a law, and a federal judge last week said, no, you can't do that. We're going to stay this law for now and adjudicate it. But we'll see. We'll talk about what that could mean for Alabama in the 11 o'clock hour. But joining us now, we do this every other week, and it's nearing the end. One more day. Shane Stringer, state representative from Central Neal, on the line with us. Representative, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, doing great. Looking forward to the end of this session.
Well, one more day. They're dragging you up there for one more day, but you've already had all the sign-and-die parties and all the formalities, and then all it is you go up there, I guess you gavel in, and there's a few things you got just got to wrap up. But as far as I can tell, a lot of it's just kind of formality.
Yeah, it's probably going to be a busy day. I think we're probably going to have a lot on the schedule and on the calendar. I don't know how effective we'll be, but I'm sure it's going to be a long day of trying to knock out, you know, as many of the last minute bills as we can.
And then it's you come home and that's it for a while, I guess, tentatively, unless the governor calls a special session.
Yeah, you know, that or, you know, just having to attend meetings here and there as meeting with constituents and different groups and different municipalities and counties and just checking on them, making sure everything, you know, that we're able to do, we can do for them.
We'll do a much deeper dive on kind of how things went next time you're on. But, looking at it now, I always have kind of low expectations because I know how you get your hopes up with the Alabama legislature seeing a bunch of things happen, but it's just the nature of the beast doesn't operate that way. And yeah, you had a fairly decent session, about as good as well as you could have expected, but thinking there's some other things that probably got left behind that you're going to have to go back and think about for next year.
Yeah, I think it went very well, considering we had new leadership and, you know, everybody was adjusting to their new positions. We had a new chair of rules. We had a new chairman of the general fund and, you know, new leadership with the speaker and the leader. So I think considering all of that, you know, took place and everybody was adjusting, it ran well. And I think we had a pretty good session in getting things accomplished. There was a few issues I would have loved to have seen us, you know, tackle. And hopefully we can get the Senate to get on board and we can get the voting bill passed tomorrow that Wes Allen's proposing and get that done. And then, hopefully next year we can get something done with the CRT bill. But other than that, I think it was, you know, pretty productive. And, you know, the leadership really worked a lot behind the scenes trying to accomplish and make things happen. And I think it ran pretty well considering.
Yeah, because you usually have some growing pains. The only thing I would say, things move rather very efficiently, and for whatever you say about Speaker Ledbetter, you may agree or disagree with his politics. Kind of tactically handling the legislature this year, new speaker. I mean, I thought he did about as good a job as anyone we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it went very well, and you know, just very efficient. To me, we didn't have a lot of wasteful time or as much wasteful time. We started on time. We ran longer days. And, you know, handle more legislation than normal. And, you know, I think he put a lot of effort into working behind the scenes with different groups and different ones to try to have as many of the issues worked out before legislation reached the floor, you know, to minimize some of the drama and some of the issues we would normally have on the floor. So I would applaud him for what he done and how he ran the session. And Speaker Pro Tem Chris Pringle did awesome in his role. And, you know, we were ran pretty efficient considering.
It also doesn't seem like people got, everybody got kind of a fair shot at what they needed or wanted. I mean, assuming you played by the rules, which weren't that, they weren't that strict, but you still had to kind of play your role.
Yeah, I mean, it ran well, and, you know, I think everybody was kind of getting adjusted to all the rules and making sure that we're in bounds on that. But, you know, I think everybody, there's nobody that can say they didn't have a voice, because he definitely listened and had an open door policy in letting legislators come in and address any issues or concerns they had with legislation, especially before it hit the floor. And so I thought he handled it well, and I really think that we did a good job, and, you know, with getting everything off and running for a fresh year.
Well, that was the other thing you said, starting on time. I mean, during the last speaker's reign, it just sometimes half hour, 45 minutes late getting going, but Ledbetter was always prompt. Like, you know, you're gaveling in right when he said, all right, when the calendar said it was going to gavel in.
Well, and that's one of the things that he did throughout his campaign for speaker, is listen to people and the legislators and what their concerns and issues were. And, you know, a lot of legislators, you know, wanted us to be more prompt and more efficient with our time. You know, we drive and go to Montgomery and, you know, away from our families and our community, and, you know, we want to get as much accomplished as we can while we're there. And, you know, that it just actually, he listened and did what he said he was going to do and stuck to it. And we were able to accomplish more. I think the morale is better and doing good. And I think it was just overall a really good thing.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer here on the program. Tell me what your reaction is to this. You and I were talking off air. You mentioned Senator Barfoot. How much is that getting that bill dealing with gangs and crime? I know they call it criminal enterprise or whatever, but how important was that getting that signed into law?
Extremely important. You know, being a cop for 30 years, I mean, that's extremely important. Alabama was one of the few states that did not have legislation defining and outlining what a gang member is and relating to that. And, you know, it's going to help law enforcement to address some of these issues, mainly in some of your bigger cities like Mobile and around, that are having gang and gang related type crimes and issues. And it's going to be major in helping them. The Attorney General's office were a big push on this bill and this legislation. And, you know, it's going to help them to hopefully be able to address some of those type issues throughout our state.
Well, one of the things, it's, you know, the Dadeville shooting, some of the reporting says some of that is gang-related. Look, when we think of gangs in America, but in Alabama too, we think of the big cities, the metropolitan areas where that is more of a problem. But it looks to me, and I don't know how much of a problem it is in our part of the state, but this sort of organization, I don't see it's organized crime, but it is organized nonetheless. It's really hitting the small towns in ways we've never seen before.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it in some of the rural areas also. You know, I know when I was chief of police for the city of Citronelle, you know, we had a guy that lived up there that had moved in town. It was MS-13 and, you know, was very active in our community there until we were able to make a case on him and send him to prison. But, you know, they're moving into our rural areas and moving, you know, trying to recruit and develop these gangs in our rural areas. I mean, it's part of the drug cartel and part of the ongoing issue that we're seeing with immigration across the country. And so it all plays into what is going on across our country and across Alabama.
Representative, the other bill, the shoplifting bill, as they're calling it, and I find some of the opposition to it to be very intellectually flimsy about, I don't know what would, you know, kind of watching some of the floor debate. Some of that's just posturing and playing for the crowd. I don't know, but what did you think of that piece of legislation?
I think it's a good piece of legislation. I think that, you know, it probably could have been articulated better on both sides of the aisle, but, you know, I think that it's much needed. We're seeing it more in other states at this time, but that don't mean that we should not address it. But you're seeing these mob squads, whatever, going in and ramshacking a Circle K or a Dillard's or whatever, and they're just going in there and 30, 40, 50 people and cleaning these businesses out and just totally, you know, shutting them down. So something has got to be in place to address that. We have not had as much of a problem in Alabama as the rest of the country does, but, you know, we don't want to sit back and wait till it happens and then start trying to pass legislation. Let's go ahead and look at where the other states are lacking and where they're, you know, we can learn from their mistakes and what they're doing to try to be prepared for when and if this happens, becomes a major problem in Alabama.
One of the things that might be outstanding, I guess, for tomorrow, this ballot harvesting bill, essentially the abuse of the absentee ballot process, which seems like something that has long plagued the state, just anecdotally. I don't know what if it's as big in the grand scheme, but if we're going to talk about every vote mattering and every vote counting, then you certainly would think this is important. Is this something you think is, I don't know, I don't even know that it happens in other states. I just hear about it a lot of places, particularly in the South. Is this something that needs to get done this year?
I absolutely think so. I think that it's a problem, you know, across the country. And, you know, you've got different groups, you know, coming in and paying different groups, churches, and different ones across our state to basically recruit to round up absentee ballots. And you've got the potential for fraud there when you've got a household of two that turns in 10 absentee ballots. I mean, something ain't right with that. So I think we need to stay on top of that and make sure that we're addressing that. Anytime you start injecting money into these ballots and absentee ballots, I don't think that's a good practice. I mean, that is an incentive for somebody to do wrong and to try to round up, you know, more ballots than they have in their household just for the income part.
Well, yeah, and they, you know, there's all kinds of ways that they're compensated, but essentially, I don't know if we've seen this in a while, but every now and then you'll see where some kind of countywide race somewhere to black belt, usually, where you see, I don't know, like 65-70% of the ballots turned in are the ballots that were, you know, counted were absentee ballots, and that just doesn't seem right.
No, and that it is not right. I mean, we've had, I know, two counties that was the case, and, you know, when the average, I think, absentee ballots are like 3 to 4%, and you got, you know, two counties that's popping up with that high percentage, then something, you know, something just ain't right there. But, you know, it's definitely something that needs to be addressed. And I really hope that the Senate will, you know, take it up tomorrow. We've already passed it through the House and just waiting on the Senate to do something. So, you know, I hope that they'll address it and do something and we can, you know, finalize it and the governor will sign it because it is important legislation. You know, like you said, every vote counts. And, you know, for one counterfeit or bad ballot, that subtracts my vote, and I don't like that. So I want my vote to count.
Well, I guess we'll wrap it up on this, but the problem has been the two counties you mentioned in Perry and Wilcox, though, but the local prosecutor just not interested in prosecuting these. And then you say, well, then the AG could step in, but the AG is – AG's got a lot on his plate, his office does. So the enforcement mechanism, and there's nothing that compels these local prosecutors to act.
Yeah, it's you know, the way it's working now, I don't like it. And like you said, if you got a local, you know, DA that's not interested in doing anything with it, then it's going to go unchecked. And, you know, we don't need that. We Alabama's got a really good history in our voting integrity, and we want to make sure we maintain that and stay in front of it, make sure that we are doing everything we can to make sure our system is running effective and efficient. I think Secretary of State Wes Allen's doing an awesome job with that.
Representative, we're out of time, but as always, we appreciate it. And we'll do this again in a couple of weeks, kind of put a finishing touch on the 2023 session.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, thanks for making time. All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.